of you of the Romans chapter number 12. If you've been following along as we've been studying the book of Romans, and I gave you an outline when we started the book of Romans that God just showed me as we started in the book of Romans. After reading through it a couple of times, I just came up with an outline. And one of the things I've always noticed in any outline you find in the book of Romans, you'll find it divided into two halves, Romans 1 through 11, and then Romans 12 through 16. And this week, we're getting into chapter number 12, the second half of the book of Romans. And as we travel the Romans road, we said at the beginning that the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans discuss the doctrinal section of salvation, describe what salvation is as far as the teachings of the Bible. The second half of the book of Romans makes an application. How should we live now that we are saved? The Romans 1 through 12 is the gospel of salvation, where we find grace, and then the gospel of sanctification, I call it, in Romans 12 through chapter number 16, how we live by God's grace. We're saved by God's grace, amen? And we live by God's grace. We're talking about receiving the gospel and living the gospel. And I want to just, by way of introduction, look at the first three verses in Romans chapter number 12. You've not memorized these verses. And if you're saved tonight, which I am guessing, praying that you are, and you ought to memorize these verses, because this is where life begins now that we're children of God. Paul says, I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, brethren. In other words, you're saved. You trusted Christ as your Savior. We're brothers in Christ or sisters in Christ. By the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It would only be sensible. If God is real in your life, it would only make sense that you live for Him. In verse number 12, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is how God wants you to live. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man according to the measure of faith. Now, I just want to share a couple of thoughts with you, and we're going to get into this. In fact, I'm going to share with you what we're going to start on Wednesday night, and I'm not sure if we will introduce to get going in this Wednesday or wait another Wednesday night with our King's Kids presentations this Wednesday. But when I look at the gospel, and I thoroughly enjoy trying to get to know the gospel and trying to see what it means to understand what it is to live according to the gospel, the most amazing thing about the Bible, or about the gospel, I want to talk to you about the two most amazing things about the Bible. And the first one is simply this, the mercy of God. God and His mercy. Mercy has been defined as God not giving me what I deserve. I deserve to be in hell for all eternity. I deserve to be there right now. But God and His mercy. I think of God's mercy and God's, in the book of Romans chapter number 5 describes the love of God's mercy. His forgiveness. His patience, the long-suffering of God. You know what long-suffering means? He puts up with us for a long, long time. I'm glad God's long-suffering. I'm glad God's merciful. I'm glad He forgives, and oh, that we would learn to love and forgive and to be patient and to be long-suffering with others because we know Him. I think of God's mercy not only in saving us, but keeping us. Remember the song, you can sing it with me. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. knowing that it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me, and there my burdened soul found liberty. At Calvary, for years I spent in vanity and pride, living the way I chose, but God was merciful. Mocking God, even in my religion, I would mock God. God in His mercy not only saves me, but God in His mercy keeps me, because I still sin today. I'm still a sinner. The only difference is I'm a sinner saved by God's grace because of His mercy. In fact, I love what Lamentations chapter number 3 says. Some of you probably know the verse. Remember mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. Remember how bitter my life was. My soul has seen them still in remembrance, and as in it humbled me. This I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail. Now listen to this. And they are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. His mercy in saving me, and every day God's mercy amazes me. That God still loves a sinner such as I. That God still cares for me. That God is still patient with me. I know me better than you know me, probably, I think. Now, some people think they don't know. And I know that there's a lot of things that God overlooks in my life, and God in His mercy doesn't give me what I deserve. Sometimes people have this idea of God that God's just waiting for us to mess up, and He's got His thumb ready and He's going to squash you into the ground like a bug when you mess up. No, God's merciful. God's patient. He remembereth our frame. He knows that we are but men. He knows that we are sinners. And though I sin, and though I fail, God still forgives. I was thinking of something this week. How many of you ate this week? How many of you ate something today? Just about everybody. I hope everybody ate something today. Well, you're done eating now. You don't have to eat tomorrow, right? Elizabeth, no way. You're going to get me to say this. No, I'm going to eat tomorrow. You know, God's mercy is the same way. I need it tomorrow. I'm going to need it the next day. I'm going to need it the next day after that. How many of you ladies cleaned your house this week? Well, some of you are gone all week, so we'll give you a bye on that one. If you got kids in the house, or if you got a sloppy husband like my wife does, you got to clean the house a few times during the week. You say, well, I got the house clean. I won't have to do that again. Wait till daddy gets home. Last 5 minutes, huh? Wait till the kids get home. You're going to have to, you know, we need God's mercy every day. Yesterday, I spent the majority of the day. I'm glad Connor and Garrett are back home. I'm going to mow the grass. And I had to mow it twice. Yesterday, I was out mowing. Now I was wise enough to wear a hat, so I didn't get any sunburn up here except for the back of my neck where the hat didn't cover. If my arms, I didn't dig out my sunscreen yet. I should have had it on yesterday. As I was mowing the grass, I thought, wow, I won't have to do that again this summer. Maybe next week. That to be done again. That's how God's mercy is. He keeps giving it to us because we keep messing up. We keep sinning. We did some of that. My wife's been doing a good job pulling the weeds out of the garden here. Sometimes I don't keep up with it real good, and it gets behind me. And after a while, you just said, forget it. The weeds kind of blend in with the plants. And they look nice together, right? And my wife's been out weeding and pulling the weeds. I'm glad she did it this week, because now it's not going to have to be done again. Those weeds are going to come back, just like sin. They're going to come back. That God's mercy is new every morning. And great is His faithfulness. I think of training your children. Uh-oh, kids, sorry. I remember a mama coming to me one time, and after dealing with their child, they came out literally doing this. Wow, we dealt with that problem. We're never going to have that problem again. And without even thinking about it, and I was kind of proud of myself because I don't do this too often. Sometimes it takes me a couple of days to think of a good response for something. And I said, I'll give them 5 minutes. You're going to have to deal with it again sooner than you think. And just like us, we sin sooner than we think. Well, sometimes, well, God, I asked you to forgive me that once, then now I went back into sin. Oh, His mercies are new every morning. Thank God for His mercy. That's the one thing that amazes me about the gospel. The other thing that amazes me about the gospel is the grace of God. The grace of God. The mercy of God is not giving me what I deserve, and the grace of God is God giving me what I don't deserve. And again, that starts with salvation. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it's there for all eternity. I'll never lose my salvation. And it's not because I deserve it, but it's all because of His grace. God showing His love and mercy to me. God's riches at Christ's expense. I'm trying to think of the definitions of grace. God doing in me what is humanly impossible. God saving me. I can't save myself. Ephesians 2 says, "For by grace are you saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works." You see, God's grace doesn't stop at salvation. That's just the beginning of it. That's the starting point. Not only God's saving grace, but the biblical term is a term that we're not used to hearing. I say it a lot on purpose, and that is sanctifying grace. God's setting us apart. God separating us unto Himself. And I will say this, that we need to understand this, that sanctification is all of God's grace. For years, I didn't understand that in my Christian life. And even sometimes the devil will throw this at me. Boy, if you do this, God will be more pleased. And we think, well, if we live a certain way and do a certain thing, God will be pleased in that. If I start doing this and take that out of my life and put this in my life, and then God's going to be pleased and God's going to love me more and God's going to give me more of His grace. No, we've got it all backwards. We get plugged into God's grace and He transforms our life. And I want to show you this summer on Wednesday nights. In fact, we're going to turn to a couple of these passages tonight. The Apostle Paul speaks much of this. Not only the book of Romans. The book of Romans is really what we call it, the treaties of the gospel. This is the introduction of the gospel, and everything else is built upon, added to that, or clarified, expounded upon the book of Romans. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, what do you know about the church of Corinth? That wasn't a real spiritually minded church, was it? As we call it, I remember years ago they used to say the San Francisco Church of the Roman Empire, because everybody, especially people in the Midwest, we know there's nothing but wicked sinners live in San Francisco. Wait a minute, that's where my daughter lives, in that area. So, well, it's not so bad. In reality, it's no different there than it is around here. That's the modern Christianity, if you will. They're boasting and bragging about their sin and saying, look at us, we can live this way, and we're under the grace of God. They had a false understanding of what the grace of God was all about. But Paul, in clarifying what the grace of God was to him, not only in saving us, but making us what we ought to be, what we cannot do in our own. You know Paul's testimony, how Paul hated God and hated God's people and hated the gospel, and now he's giving his life to preach the gospel. And God did a major transformation in Paul's life, not only at his conversion, but for the 3 years he lived out in the desert, when God worked him over, when God taught him and instructed him personally, and now for years that he's been traveling and preaching the gospel. Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, in fact, he starts out this chapter, "I declare unto you the gospel." And he emphasizes the resurrection of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And notice what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 8, at the last, and he's again sharing his testimony how that Christ was risen from the dead and seen of those. But Paul wasn't a believer in Christ yet at that time. He was an enemy of Christ. And long after the resurrection of Christ, when the Apostle Paul got saved, and then he says, and last of all, I'm talking about the visual appearances of Jesus in his resurrection, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. I'm a Johnny come lately, we would say. I am the least of the apostles, and that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am. For his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God was with me. Paul said, everything that I've accomplished now in serving Christ was not because I was more determined, not because I had the character or the discipline. No, it's because I just got plugged into the grace of God. And God's grace is new every morning, just like God's mercy is new every morning. Turn again, if you will, a little bit farther out to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians comes after 1 Corinthians. Just trying to help you out a little bit there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And Paul has this sprinkled throughout his writings. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And beginning in verse number 13. For whether we be beside ourselves or outside of my mind, I'm going crazy. It is to God. I've lost my senses to God. Or whether we be sober or serious-minded. And I'll act crazy for God, or I'll be serious-minded for God, for it is for your cause. And notice what he says in verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. I was once dead. And that he died for all, that they which should live should not henceforth live unto themselves or in their own strength and their own power, but to him which died for them and rose again. And he talks about that earlier in the book of Romans, how that spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead has also quickened our mortal body, made us alive. And verse 16, wherefore henceforth we know no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet no yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. Now, I know we usually talk about that as salvation, but that's not talking about salvation. That's when Christ is in us. But if we're in Christ, if we're walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh, we are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Everything's different. Because of the grace of God. Because not only I got saved, and I know we like to sing the song, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. I don't know about you, but there's some things that are not correct about that song. Because a lot of things in my life didn't change like I would have liked them to change when I got saved. I still had a lot of sin in my life. Still have a lot of sin in my life. But the more I get into Christ, the more that sin is taken away. And the more God recreates me from the inside. He's not talking about his salvation. He's talking about being in Christ, not Christ being in you. Again, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And I won't get to all the verses I want to look at. I'm just looking at the ones in Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And again, this is Paul's testimony, the last chapter. To the book of to the church of Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and beginning in verse number 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure. And he's talking about all the things that he's gone through. How he was stoned to death. I mean, the enemies of God picked up rocks and started pelting him with stones and knocked him unconscious and then left him for dead. And he says by his own testimony that he was laying there in the street and he died. He went into heaven. Boy, if he lived today, he could write a book about that. Make a lot of money. I was in heaven and this is what I saw. But he said, no, God's not going to allow me to tell you what I saw when I was in heaven. And he said in verse number 7, and he talks about the revelations and how God used him to give us the Word of God, to write the inspired Word of God. In verse number 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, that God, boy, I'm really somebody. look at me, God used my hand to write the Bible for you. He could have said that, but he said, no, God's given me something as a permanent reminder of who I am and how I need His grace. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. We could talk from now till next week what that thorn in the flesh was and never come up with an answer. A messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart. God, I beg God. And I think he is more than, God, would you take this away? There's once. God, would you take this away? There's twice. God, would you take, there's three times. That's not what he's talking about. I believe he's talking about fasting for nights on end. And seeking God, sleepless nights, and begging God without eating, without sleeping for days. He did that three different times, and God said, and God didn't see fit to take it away. And he realized that God allowed Satan to put this messenger, whether it's a person or a thing or a condition that he had. In verse number 9, he says, and God, this is God's answer. He said unto me, my what? My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul, in case you think you can do it on your own, I'm going to give you this thorn in the flesh, this messenger, to constantly remind you, without me, you can do nothing. That's the grace of God. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. I'm grateful for this affliction, whatever it might be or whoever it might be. I'm glad for it because it's a constant reminder to me that I can't live the Christian life on my own. The grace of God amazes me. God's sufficient grace, not only in saving me, but in keeping me. In Galatians chapter number 2, Paul again says this, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We usually stop there when looking at those verses, but the next verse in verse 21 says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. I don't want to say, God, I think I can do this on my own. God, I don't need your help today. I can make it through the day without you. Thanks anyways. He said, no, that'd be frustrating the grace of God. God, and the book of James talks about how the Spirit of God lusteth to enter. He wants to control our life. He wants to bless us. He wants to use us. He wants to do so many things for us. But we want to say, we can't do that. God says, trust in my grace. You'd be amazed what you can do when you learn to walk in my grace. But God, I can't read the Bible. God, I can't study that. God, I can't memorize Scripture. Trust in me and see what God's grace can do in your life. Rather than saying, I can't, say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. Now, in me, that is in my flesh, there's nothing good in me. I can't do it in myself. And we may even try to live the Christian life and might even be pretty successful living the Christian life and having a good Christian testimony in the flesh. But God says, there's nothing to that. That's not me. You're frustrating the grace of God because God wants to do that in you. He wants to do so much more in you. Now, there's many things that Paul... Well, I should say it this way. There's many things that we need to get over in our life today. So I gave you a shirt. I still wear it, Amy. In fact, I saw somebody at school last year that had a T-shirt, and I try to wear mine when he's on the bus, so he had the same T-shirt. Look at this. I got that one. Get over it. Some things we need to get over, but some things we ought to never get over. Never get over the grace of God. Never get over the mercy of God. Anything else in life, get over it. But never get over God's mercy and never get over God's grace. Paul never got over his grace either. In fact, I say that because every book I look at that was given to us by inspiration of God and written by the hand of Paul, he talks about this. In fact, I've learned this and I've relearned it again and saw it again and been comparing a number of things. I'm all for when studying the Bible, I try to read other resources and what other preachers have said, what other Bible teachers have said about a passage of Scripture and they point out things, but I've found that, and we call them commentaries of the Bible, but the best commentary of the Bible is the Bible itself. And what we're going to look at this summer is a commentary on Romans. Actually, we can go back to Romans chapter number 7, halfway through chapter 7 and all the way to the end of the book of Romans, a commentary. But sometimes commentaries are longer than the original. This commentary is a concise. This is like a Cliff's Notes of the second half of the book of Romans. But I just want to point out that there are many, I guess we'd call them parallel passages of Romans 7 through 15. They give you a couple of examples, and you can study these out, and you'll find many of the things that Paul says in Romans 7:15 are repeated in other major sections of the Bible. One of them is in 1 Corinthians 12 through 15. A lot of the things that he's teaching in Romans, the second half of Romans, are also taught in the second half of the book of 1 Corinthians. In Galatians 4, 5, and 6, the same principles are taught of dying to ourselves that we might live in Christ. The gospel of Christ, of God's mercy and God's grace, God doing in me what's human. Ephesians chapter 4, 5, and 6 also talk about the same thing. And you'll find a lot of the same wording. Philippians chapter 3 and 4 and Colossians chapter 3 and 4, which is where we're going to start this summer, looking at Colossians 3 and actually just a few verses into chapter 4, just 31 verses. And I would encourage you to memorize them. I already got the first few down. If you then be risen with Christ. If you're risen with Christ. We're talking to saved people. You're risen with Christ. You know the grace of God. You know the mercy of God. You've trusted Him as your Savior. If you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God the Father. Set your affection, set your love, your desire, your heart on things above, not on things on the earth. You know, one of the obstacles I found in serving God is we get too sidetracked by things on this earth, good or bad, and we lose our focus on God. And He says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory." One day, we won't need God's mercy anymore because we'll be beside His throne. And we got there because of His mercy. I say we won't need it anymore, but we won't need the new mercies every day because we won't have a sin nature to deal with anymore. His mercy is a thing of the past now. And we won't need His grace anymore because we will be there with our perfect body and our sin. We will be like Him one day. Of course, grace is what got us there. But now that we're there, we don't need that daily portion of grace. We don't need that daily portion of mercy anymore. When Christ, when He is our life and He shall appear, we shall appear also with Him in glory. We'll be just like Him one day. Thank God for His mercy and grace. And I can go down through Colossians chapter number 3 and into, I think it's about verse number 4, into chapter number 4. And we're going to spend some time in that this summer. And oh, if we could see, that's the short version. That's the summary of Romans. The whole second half of the book of Romans is Colossians chapter number 3 and the first 6 verses, I guess it is, into chapter number 4. And we're just going to focus on that because we're going to cover, it took us a little longer to get through Romans, and all the same things that are covered in Romans are also covered here. They're also covered in Ephesians. They're also covered in Philippians. They're also covered in Galatians. They're also covered in 1 Corinthians. And you'll see them scattered around different writings of the Apostle Paul. And by the way, the same thing with Jesus Christ, with His teaching. We look at the Sermon on the Mount when He preached in Matthew, the main portion. We think of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. But you find over and over again in other Gospels, you'll find them quoting a section of the Sermon on the Mount here and a section over there. Because that was His focus. That's how Christians ought to live their life. In fact, that could be a commentary on what the Apostle Paul is writing. But I want you to understand that what we need more than anything else is the most amazing thing to me about the gospel is the mercy of God. Not only to know His mercy, but to live in His mercy and to show His mercy to others. Well, that hits there, doesn't it? and not only to know His grace in saving us, but to know His grace in a daily level and seeking His grace today to make us what we can't. Instead of saying, I can't, say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The most amazing thing about the gospel is the mercy of God and the grace of God. Don't ever get over that. Get over everything else, but don't ever get over the mercy of God. Don't ever get over the grace of God. It'll help you in dealing with other people, in your family, in your church, in your neighborhood, in your community, in your workplace. Don't ever get over the mercy of God and the grace of God. And it'll give you the burden that God has for lost people around you. I'm going to ask you to sing.